This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 10th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at the Muslim faith and the environment. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's Ed Keezer. First of all, look at today's news. The Champaign City Council is now ready to vote to repeal an 18-month-old requirement that landlords accept tenants with federal Section 8 vouchers. The council endorsed the repeal last night in a 6-3 straw poll. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The proposed repeal comes from Councilman Ken Pierrock, who says that as a landlord himself, he willingly accepts tenants receiving government rent subsidies. But he says other landlords should be free to refuse the Section 8 vouchers, which require a federal contract that can override the landlord's own leases. Those on the other side say no one should discriminate against tenants simply because they rely on government aid. But Pierrock says even before Champaign's Section 8 protections took effect, those with the vouchers had no shortage of available apartments in Champaign.
And since there hasn't been a problem, and in the future I don't think there will be a problem either. So effectively, I don't think there will be any difference between the relationship between landlords and tenants or how easy or difficult it is for a Section 8 tenant to find a place to live.
Pierrock's motion to repeal the Section 8 protections first came up last fall, only to be tabled by the Champaign City Council for 13 months. Since then, support for repeal has grown with the election of Karen Foster to the council. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A factory in Danville is reportedly closing in 18 months. Heatcraft has been making refrigeration equipment at the factory for more than 50 years, but reports say management has decided to close the factory and consolidate its operations at a plant in Georgia. More than 300 people currently work at Danville's Heatcraft plant. Authorities in Champaign County say inconsistent statements from Robert Arnett before and after the discovery of his wife's body led to his arrest on murder charges. We have the latest from AM 580's Jeff Bossert.
The 38-year-old Arnett was formally arraigned in court Tuesday, 10 days after the body of his estranged wife, Naomi Arnett, was found in a shallow grave near Sadorus. State's Attorney Julia Reitz says after that discovery, authorities got a court order to tap Arnett's phone. She says conversations between Arnett and an acquaintance tell a different story than the one he initially told investigators. After his wife went missing May 21st, Arnett told authorities he didn't know of her whereabouts, but the phone tap revealed that Arnett claimed to have found her after she committed suicide and took the body to where it was found in an effort to conceal that suicide. Reitz says that claim doesn't corroborate with the physical evidence found at the shallow grave or the accounts of witnesses. Authorities say Arnett also left a message on his wife's cell phone indicating he was concerned about her in an attempt to cover his own tracks. Cell phone tower records indicate he had her cell phone at the time the call was made. The cause of Naomi Arnett's death still hasn't been determined. Robert Arnett is due back in court later this month. He remains in custody on $5 million bond. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
The Illinois Attorney General's office hasn't yet decided whether to petition the state Supreme Court about a new trial for a man convicted of murder. Spokeswoman Robin Ziegler says the Attorney General's office will decide by its deadline on Thursday. Prosecutors have until then to ask the Supreme Court to consider the legality of the new trial that a lower court granted Herb Whitlock. Whitlock was convicted in the 1986 murder of Karen Rhodes and her husband Dyke Rhodes. He's been in prison ever since. Another man convicted on much of the same evidence in the murders is free now, though. A judge ruled in 2004 that jurors may well have found Randy Steidel innocent if his defense had done a better job, and prosecutors at that point declined to retry him. Whitlock has maintained his innocence as well. The newspaper El Informador was started 5 years ago as a student project on the University of Illinois campus. This week, the monthly publication becomes one of the weekly community newspapers distributed by the News Gazette. The free paper hits newsstands today. The editor-in-chief, Maria Silva, says the growing Latino population needs an option for print news from the Champaign area.
They have access to the huge TV stations in Spanish. So they know a lot about international news, the news in their countries, but they don't know anything about local news.
El Informador will also feature a health column and editorials. The newspaper is currently distributed to a number of sites, including Mexican restaurants and groceries and communities like Rantoul. Silva says staff hopes to soon circulate the newspaper in outlying communities and start a website. It's been 50 years since researchers at the University of Illinois developed the groundbreaking theory of superconductivity. The theory led to inventions like the MRI, which helped save thousands of lives by scanning the human body and detecting tumors. The U of I is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the so-called BCS theory. John Bardeen, Leon Cooper, and Richard Schrieffer all won Nobel Prizes for their work on the theory. Several Nobel laureates from around the nation are joining the celebration in a four-day conference that starts today on the U of I campus. The conference organizer, U of I physics professor Philip Phillips, says current and future applications of superconductivity will be in the spotlight.
For example, if the wires which came into your house were all made of superconducting wires, your electrical bill would go down by 40%. Nothing gets wasted. The problem with superconductivity is that it happens at very low temperatures. And so one of the big problems in physics is how do you make a room temperature superconductor?
Philip says at the moment, superconductor temperatures are in the range of minus 270 to minus 150 Fahrenheit. The American Physical Society will also honor the U of I researchers who won Nobel Prizes. The society will designate the U of I's old physics building, where the pioneers developed their theory, as a National Historic Physics Site. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Some Christian sermons have been getting greener and greener lately. That's part of a concerted effort to get churchgoers on board with environmental volunteerism and advocacy. American Muslims have been taking a hard look at the environment, too. Some Islamic leaders hope Muslims will get fired up to fight global warming, deforestation, and other environmental problems. From the Environment Report, Sean Ali has more.
A few boys have some books sprawled on the floor of a bookstore. They're practically devouring some illustrated stories.
All these three are my boys, yeah.
Looks like they're pretty busy with their own books here.
They like reading. I'm proud of them, yeah.
Ali Azam says his boys aren't the only ones reading up on Islam. It's a family affair.
Let's see what book you have here.
To be a European Muslim.
Azam says to be a European Muslim reads like a manual for everyday life.
You can be a good Muslim and you can be a good citizen of the Western world.
The Ikra Muslim bookstore in Chicago is owned by Abidullah Ghazi. Ghazi says Islam deals with a person's whole life. He says the holiest book, the Quran, has something to say on marriage, science, and the environment.
There's a very clear guidelines in the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad. He said when you plant a tree, and if animals or birds or insects eat from it, for each eating, you get the reward.
But Muslims I spoke with say the environment is not a hot topic in American mosques. And even in this Muslim bookstore, it gets little explicit attention.
Because, as I say, in the traditional society itself, that's not a major issue.
Ghazi says when Muslims arrived a few decades ago, the environment was not on their minds. Their children needed guidance on fundamentals like how to pray. But today, Muslims face new moral challenges, including the environment.
So the time's ripe to discuss this issue.
Ingrid Mattson is president of the Islamic Society of North America, or ISNA. ISNA is one of the nation's largest Muslim umbrella groups.
What I would like to see is that we're able to develop more guidelines with the participation of the community that would help them move forward to be more environmentally friendly.
Mattson wants American Muslims to fight global warming. She says it should be easy to motivate them. After all, many have family abroad who face environmental problems.
Most of us have at least visited some Middle Eastern countries or African countries, and we've seen for ourselves the impact of global warming. We know, for example, that the situation in Darfur really was started because of the drying up of the watering holes of nomads.
The UN agrees water is at least one cause behind the conflict in Sudan. It could take time for big-picture principles to move from Mattson's group into American mosques, but some Muslim environmental activists are on the move now. Zainab Khan works with a Chicago interfaith group called Faith in Place. She's looking at things Muslims can do in their day-to-day lives. One of Khan's goals is to have mosques cut back the environmental impact of Islamic rituals.
We pray five times a day. Most people need to wash up before they pray, and usually they'll be using warm water for that.
And heating water takes power, so Khan is trying to get a local mosque to install solar water heaters. She also wants Muslims to buy food from local farmers. She says getting organic food is not enough. It can be imported from places like Peru.
So, for example, if you're getting organic all the way from Peru, it's harder to monitor that pesticides and so forth aren't being used. And then on top of that, you're burning a lot of fossil fuels to get that organic food to you.
Khan says buying local helps ensure workers and animals are treated well, both Islamic principles. Khan says sometimes it's hard to talk about Islam without getting hung up on current discussions about gender and terrorism. But she tries anyway.
God will send forth upon communities blessings upon blessings. So it's this positive outlook that you make a concerted effort, and then God will take care of you and take care of the earth.
Increasingly, Islam is making America its home. Khan and other Muslims believe they can contribute to making that home's environment better through faith. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
We are now officially in a cool weather pattern, according to our meteorologist, Ed Kieser. Our forecast for today in northern Illinois and Indiana, clouds and some scattered sprinkles developing, a mix of clouds and sun in central sections and mostly sunny in the south. Highs today ranging from around 50 degrees in far northwest Illinois to 72 in the far south. 58 the forecast high for Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, in the northern central sections, cloudy with scattered showers. In central and southeast Illinois and in southern Indiana, mostly cloudy. In southwest Illinois, partly cloudy and lows in the 40s, just mostly cloudy and 44 for the Champaign-Urbana area. And for tomorrow, in western Illinois, partly to mostly sunny. In this part of Illinois, eastern Illinois, and across Indiana, cloudy with some scattered showers still lingering in Indiana. Tomorrow's highs ranging from 55 in the north to 63 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.